Hello, old dogs. This is your host and top dog, Bill Manicero. I hope you're having a blessed holiday and are getting ready for an amazing new year. Today's show is a special rebroadcast of one of our most popular episodes. I'm introducing the show under the banner Best of Old Dogs REI Network Podcast. Well, enjoy.
This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Hello? Old Dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show,
where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is, if I had $100,000 to invest in real estate. Well, this is a strange topic title. Not really. Actually, it's a very common question that I'm presented with by folks from all over the place. And sometimes it comes in the form of, hey, I have this amount of money or that amount, and if you were me, how would you invest that money in real estate? Well, first off, I usually say, look, I'm by no means an expert in all things real estate, and there are many, many options when you talk about real estate investing. I mean, real estate investing is a pretty broad subject. It includes everything from very passive investing, let's say through crowdfunding, or maybe even just investing in a syndication, REITs, fix and flips, wholesaling, buy and hold, notes, deeds, liens, raw land, single family residence, and then you can talk about the different things that you can invest in, from trailer parks to commercial properties, which include multifamily, strip malls, office buildings, triple net, retail, storage facilities. Then there's the whole area of speculation and new construction or development. I mean, real estate investing is a very, very broad term. So when I'm talking about real estate investing, at least when people talk to me, I let them know, look, I'm a buy and hold guy. That's really what I do, is I buy real estate. I create steady streams of cash flow through rental properties. That's really my focus. So I feel, at least in the least bit, if you're doing rental properties, how would you invest $100,000? Let's just take a look at that. You know, and I think another thing we have to be aware of too is how are you investing? People invest for different reasons in buy and hold. Some, it's strictly cash flow. They're trying to get the best cash flow they can. Some, it's an equity play. They're looking at investing, buying low, and eventually selling high and making a big, you know, killing at the end of it. There's people that are concerned with tax savings. So buying real estate is one of the best places to put your investment dollars in terms of taxes and tax savings. Some are just trying to diversify their investments. So they have so much in the market, so much in bonds, so much in real estate. And then some are looking at short-term returns, some are looking at long-term returns. So that's really a key thing. So the kind of question you want to ask are what are you looking for? More cash in your pocket on a monthly basis? Are you looking for a tax-sheltered way to save for the future or for retirement? Are you looking for the best investment return, your ROI, your return on your investment? Or are you looking for just a steady passive income flow for now and in the future? So I'm, as I mentioned, involved in passive cash flow income. And passive is a key word here, is, you know, flippers and people that are involved with projects like that are very active. That is not a passive role by any means. You have to oversee these projects. You have to work with contractors. You have to be involved in every penny that's spent on the rehab and the purchase. And there's a lot of work involved. I'm looking at getting good, solid income sources that I can invest in. Maybe I can do a value add play, which means being able to add some value to that property by upgrading it, improving the way it looks, going into the units and upgrading them, making them more contemporary, and with the types of things that people today renting would be looking for. And in that process, increasing rents, decreasing expenses. So you're also improving not only the cash flow of the property, but you're improving the overall value of the property. So that's sort of where my head is at. And that's really the area that I feel most confident answering that question. In looking at that, I have three goals. And this is the way that I look at all sort of buy and hold type ventures is number one, I'm trying to create and generate a steady, consistent cash flow from rental properties that will provide long-term income for my retirement years. Secondly, I'm also doing something that's a little unique in that I'm helping to generate funds for our nonprofit organization in Haiti that aids orphaned, abandoned, and at-risk children. That's an important part of what we're doing. And finally, I want to create and build a legacy that I can hand down to my children and grandchildren. So for me, I am a buy and hold investor, but I know exactly what I'm hoping to generate out of the investments that I make. So taking that under consideration, what would I do with $100,000? I looked at three different options here. I looked at, okay, if I have $100,000, I could buy a house for $100,000 and that house would generate income monthly. I wouldn't have to worry about a mortgage payment. I still have property tax and insurance and the other expenses, but I'd get a pretty good cash flow because I wouldn't have to worry about a mortgage payment. But at the same time, there'd be a drawback. I'd be tying all of my money up, and so I wouldn't have anything else left to deal with any capital expenses. You know, maybe I need a new roof or something of that nature. I'd have to be tucking away part of my cash flow to be able to do that. Also, I don't get the advantage of being able to deduct interest on my mortgage as well, which is a real advantage. That's kind of what that would look like. I could buy a home for $100,000. The rent on a $100,000 home, for example, on any home, you'd look at 0.8 to 1.1% of the value of the house. So that could be $800 to $1,100. So I would probably say, you know, let's look at the rent somewhere around $850 or $900, somewhere in that range. And then you have to look at your regular ongoing expenses. So you've got, you know, property management. Again, I'm a passive investor, so property management is going to be part of that. Repairs and maintenance, which are generally 2% of the income. Cleaning, trash, landscaping. If there's plumbing issues or anything of that nature, you'd have to take care of. Then there's the unexpected stuff that you just never know. You have a water heater that goes out. You have a tree that roots that went into the sewage lines. So you always have to have funds set aside for those things. And then you're always going to have your property taxes and your insurance. So there's a thing that they call the 50% rule that is just a way of looking at how to allocate your money when you're estimating your return on investment. There are no hard and fast rules on, let's say, for example, monthly maintenance costs for rental properties, but Fannie Mae suggests a property owner allocate roughly 2% of the property value annually. That means if it's a property worth $100,000, the landlord should at least set aside $2,000 for maintenance costs, which is like, I guess, around $166 a month, roughly. So you're going to have those, and you're going to have your other costs outside of that, your insurance, your taxes. So roughly, I would say that cash flow on a $100,000 property in that range is probably going to be $300. If you can get $300 out of it, that's really good. And that's averaging it out over the many months. So that's keeping your expenses low and letting the tenants absorb as many of those expenses as possible. And then you just taking care of the things that you have to. So that's one option, buying a house for cash. Another is, well, why not take that $100,000 and divide it by five, okay, which would be $20,000, and buy five houses for $20,000 down. Now, if you could get that kind of a down payment on there. You're going to have to still finance, the $80,000 left, but you could get five houses for the same $100,000. You'd have to get five mortgages, and you're going to have five property tax payments, five insurance payments, and you're also going to have all the other expenses, the maintenance and repairs in there. Again, now we're changing the ratio a little bit. You're not going to get $300 left over because now you've got a mortgage payment. I'd say if you're doing really well, if you can get $100 a door in that kind of a situation after expenses. Now, the first one you're looking at of getting $300 a month in cash flow. This one, though, you can look at getting $500 a month because, if you're getting $100 a door, which I think would be a good return, you would be in great shape. Now, you're going to have for the first, you'll have a property worth $100,000. For the others, you're going to have a property worth $500,000, which a property's worth $5,000. Now, you won't have that full amount. You'll only have the equity in it, but you won't have the full value of the $500,000, but you will have properties worth collectively a lot more than just the $100,000 house. Plus, you'll have the advantages of the deductions that you're going to get for your mortgage. Both properties, you can still, like the one property or as opposed to the five, you'll still get depreciation. So you'll have some other key things in there, but you'll be making $500 a month as opposed to $300 a month, which is pretty nice. Plus you'll have some really good deductions in there too. And you'll have properties that hopefully if you bought right, will appreciate and will be worth more than just $500,000. And my final choice would be to take the $100,000 and to use it as a down payment on a 15-unit apartment that sells for $500,000. This is a viable means of investing as well. Now, the difference is you don't have the five mortgages, the five property tax payments, you don't have the five insurance payments, five different landscape bills. You've got it all condensed into one property. And that's something to take a look at. You'd invest $100,000, you'd get a property worth $500,000, which is pretty nice. Now, granted, your mortgage and is going to be there. You want to come to buy undervalue property. Anywhere from 10 to 20 to 30% under market would be great because right after you make that purchase, and that goes for the single family homes too, you have that instant equity, and that's something you don't want to treat lightly. That really is worth something. So you buy under market, you've got this great property. Now, however, I've got 15 doors, 15 units. If I am yielding $100 per unit, okay, now my cash flow goes up to $1,500 a month, which has an annual of $18,000. I've got the same $100,000, but now I'm generating a lot more on my monthly cash flow. Now, if I wanted to do something here in terms of what we call value add, I could take that $1,500 a month, and let's say all I really want is $500 a month. I could take $1,000 a month and put that into improvements and upgrade apartments and upgrade the common areas. And, it would take a little while because, only $1,000 a month, but that's $12,000 for the year that I could use to improve this property. As I improve it, I could also increase the rents, which would mean my cash flow would go up even more. It also means when you increase rents that you're increasing the value of the property. So what you may start off with is on a $500,000 property, you could, if you could increase rents and reduce expenses, you could come out significantly ahead in terms of the value of the property. You may have a property valued at $700,000, $750,000, $800,000 in 2-3 years. These are just the key elements. The forced appreciation is something that you really only get with apartments. You can't do that with the houses. With houses, you're always subject to comps and what other properties like your property have sold in the area. But with an apartment, you can adjust the value of that property based on what you do to that property to make it a more profitable enterprise. So those are my three different options. And this is probably why I'm investing in multifamily, because the other ones definitely have their advantages, but they also have some disadvantages. An apartment has its advantages and disadvantages as well. But the things that I'm looking for, my priorities of cash flow and being able to leave a legacy for my children and something that will generate the kinds of funds that I can also put into my nonprofit, well, I'm going to make a lot more for that $100,000 than I would in any of the other options. So that is it for today. That is how I would spend $100,000 in real estate. Well, that's it for today. Please note, Old Dog listeners, everything presented here can be accessed through our show notes on the Old Dogs website at Old Dogs REI Network. Dogs is spelled D-A-W-G-S. OldDogsREINetwork.com/blog. And in the blog section, you'll be able to access the show notes on this, and you can sit down and do the math yourself. I'll try to put a little spreadsheet in the show notes as well. It'll show you how I worked up these rough numbers. So until next time, remember, cash flow is king, real estate investing the means. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.